Open in your Bibles quickly, if you would, to the book of Jonah. Jonah came right after Obadiah, if you can find Obadiah. It's in the Minor Prophets. If it's easier, go to Matthew and turn left. I was kind of proud of myself. I kept this message very short. Going into it, I had 45 minutes to preach a 25-minute sermon. And after the offering and the offertory song, now I've got 20 minutes to do a 25-minute sermon. But I can take 45 minutes because that's what I had. Y'all took it. It's not my fault. It's good to see all of you. Do you know how special you are to me? You might not be special to many people, but you are to me. I appreciate you, and I need you. So thank you for being here. It means a great deal. How many of you know somebody or used to know somebody that you are reasonably sure may have died and gone to hell? Hell. How many of you know of somebody that probably died and went to hell? Hell. H-E-L-L. The rest of y'all know all saved people? Jesus said the road to hell was broad, and many there be go in at it. But the road to heaven was narrow and few. So one more time, I just want to kind of get a feel. How many of you are pretty sure that you know somebody that died and went to hell? What do you think life is like for them now? What do you think they're going through right now? While we're sitting in here fairly comfortable, mostly enjoying ourselves. Some of us are getting hungry. But what do you think they're going through? If this was a loved one or a family member, how much would you rather they be in heaven than hell? But think of some others that might not be dead yet, but they're on the same trajectory. What can we do? What can you do? Jonah, chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh. Preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. Now, in the Living Bible, it puts it a little bit different. It says, the Lord gave this message to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and give them this announcement from the Lord. I'm going to destroy you, for your wickedness rises before me, and it smells to the highest heavens. Those who practice righteousness, the Bible says we are a sweet savor or smell. It's kind of like when you smell a steak cooking on the grill and you have that instantaneous mouth water, like, because you smelled it, but it's a wonderful smell. Or when you walk by the cotton candy machine at the fair, or what, and you, or the where they're cooking the onions to put on the, you're really getting hungry now, aren't you? Good. If we can be a sweet smelling savor, then the opposite is true also. Sometimes what you and I do stinks to God. Do you want to make a difference? Do you want to make a difference in your life, or in somebody else's life, or in the kingdom? Or are we just going to ignore the free-for-all of morality that's all around us? I don't know if you checked lately, but the United States is sliding lower and lower and lower. And there's going to come a time when it's a real problem. I mean, it already is, but it's going to be more serious than it is now. It's kind of like in your car, you've got a dipstick. Not the one driving, but the... I know how you feel. Sometimes I feel like the dipstick. But in your car, you have a dipstick. If you ignore it, as the oil level gets lower and lower and lower, it's only a matter of time before you're going to have a problem. The little idiot light comes on and says, stupid, stupid, stupid. And then it's going to go, poof. And you got serious problems. Because a piston's going to freeze up and a rock, poof, right through it. And then you're looking at a rebuilt job, and that's kind of, wow. God is given a dipstick, something that we can measure by, something we can look at, and we can tell when things are getting lower and lower and lower. What will need to happen to change what's getting lower and lower and lower? Well, in your car, you can add oil. Well, duh. And look for telltale signs, like little puddles of oil in your driveway. Or if it's real bad, a little stream that's behind your car. That lets you know, I got a serious problem. I better get that fixed before I can be able to drive my... It's the same way in the kingdom. We're leaking oil. The oil of the Holy Spirit. So what needs to happen for there to be an amazing spiritual awakening in the United States, in our lives, in our church. Just as God arranged, one translation says arranged, provided, one translation says provided, one translation says he grew. I like that thought. God grew a whale. Another one says prepared. I like that one too. But God grew or prepared a whale for one purpose, to wake Jonah up. Because Jonah had gone to sleep spiritually. I believe that God is growing some global circumstances right now to wake the church up, not to wake America up, not to wake the sinner up, to wake the saint up, the church, because we're the ones that God depends on. It was his prophet that needed waking up. I pray that it will eventually wake those up who are asleep to the dangers of God's judgment, because God's judgment is coming. The book of Jonah is more than just a whale story. We usually get kind of tied into that whale story thing. Any fisherman does. They love to tell stories about their fish. I caught a fish that was that long. And we hope that they look between our thumbs, but not our finger and our thumb. There was a whale. It's in the story. But what if the whale could talk? What kind of story do you think he would tell? Oh, God sent me on this mission. I was just minding my own business eating sardines one day. And God said, I got a prophet I want you to eat. So go over where you see that storm brewing and there's a boat over there. Just hang out there. I know he's not going to taste good. He's kind of rotten, but it'll be okay. Just eat him. And I ate him. And he was rotten. And after about 3 days, I couldn't stand any more of him, so I threw him up. Could you imagine the story the whale would tell? I know, I'm the only one that would think of that. But I love to think that away. I like to just sit and wonder about things. What did the donkey say when they were on the way to Bethlehem and Mary was riding? What would he say when he was tied in the little stable? Those are thoughts that I have. What would the whale say? But what was the purpose of all of it? This is a story about the greatest spiritual awakening in history. It's a picture of what God can accomplish through his servants who choose to prepare themselves to become agents of the Spirit. I like that thought. I'm an agent of the Spirit. I go where I'm sent. And I do what I'm told. I'm his agent. This book, the book of Jonah, is about how great God's heart is toward his people. How much he loves you. God is concerned about the people in the city of Nineveh whose sin stunk. But God's concerned about them. God always wants to save people. Sometimes he gets a bad rap because we think he's waiting up there with a button just ready to push it. First time we step out of line. That's not it. God's heart is so loving and so big toward you that he wants to move in to help you, to protect you, to save you. He's in the saving business. So much so that he sent his son, that his son would die for you. That's why God was sending Jonah to Nineveh. Because he loved those people. He wanted to see them blessed. He wanted to see their needs met. He wants to see them saved. The story also tells us that God shows compassion even for those who run away from him. I don't know. You may be on the run today. I don't know. But God's love is so big, it runs after you. It is so great that it reaches even into a pig pen to pull you toward himself. God will reach you if you'll just stay open to him. God never gave up on Jonah. Even when Jonah ran away from him. And that's a whole different, we'll get into that in a few minutes. This story serves you and I with several principles. I mean, it just lays them out there on a platter so that we can dine on them. So I want to look at several principles with you. We'll only get to one today because somebody took up the offering. I just pick when I can. Check, point one, check your direction. When I was at Southeastern Bible College, we had a very eccentric psychology professor. If you ever met him, you'd never forget him. He was a great man of God, but he was weird as they come. But he told several stories that I'll never forget as long as I live. That was in 1974, so that was a fur piece back. But I still remember one of the stories. He started out and he says, I was in San Francisco and I was supposed to go to a lecture. And I went down to the front desk of the hotel and I said, how do I get to this place where the lecture is going to be held? And the guy said, well, it's very simple. Go down here about four blocks and there's going to be a trolley coming by. You get on the trolley. And go to, I think, if I'm not mistaken, it was 181st Street. And he says, it'll just be about a half a block. from there. And he said, oh, wonderful. So he goes down the prescribed amount of distance, and sure enough, there was a trolley. He got on it, and he traveled all the way, and he got off, and there was no place where the lecture was being held. So he asked somebody, where do I find such and such a place? And they said, oh, get on the next trolley and go back east, and you will pass the meridian and then go to, yeah, he went the wrong direction. It doesn't matter how far you travel. It doesn't matter how far you've come. If you end up at the wrong place, it's been a waste. So check your direction. As we see in Jonah 1:1, the word of the Lord came to Jonah. We go in the direction that the Lord sends. God calls particular people to particular places for particular purposes. God may have you working where you're working for a particular reason. There's a purpose there. You're an agent of the Spirit. And maybe it's right there in that place where you're working, or you're living in the neighborhood that you're living in. No, that was the cheapest house I could find. No! God showed it to you, and it was appealing. And maybe you're there for the next door neighbor, or the woman down the street, or the man that lives across the way. You're going to minister to it. I don't know why God would have you where you are, but God calls people to a particular place. You're in this church for a purpose. Too many people want to run from their purpose. We get our purpose confused with what we like. Oh, I don't like him. He's too long. I don't like him. He's too loud. Oh, I don't like this church. It's too dead. I don't like this church. It's too lively. And we think that just because what we like is what we like, it becomes important. No, what God likes is what's important. Where does God put you? Well, we're going to be moving on, Pastor. It's been a real trip. Yeah, is that God's idea or yours? It's like the guy that came to me several years ago in this church. And he says, I don't like to come to this church because you make me feel guilty every week. I just looked at him and said, really? That means I'm doing my job. I'm giving you the word. And it's not me. Conviction comes from the Holy Spirit. I couldn't convict you if I wanted to, because I'm probably more guilty than you are. In Jonah's case, called him to a specific place. Go to Nineveh and preach there. Preach against their sin. And Jonah heard what God said. Isaiah said, here am I, Lord. Send me. Jonah said, here am I, Lord, send somebody else. I don't want to go. Please, Mr. Custer, I don't want to go. If you never heard that song, you need to go online and look it up. I love that song. So much like me sometimes. Oh God, I don't want to go. Don't make me go. God said go, and Jonah said no. Be careful you don't do that with God. God does not think that's funny. God has a great sense of humor. Trust me on that. Just take a glance at the person next to you. It'll prove it. God has a great sense of humor. Look at yourself in the mirror. But when he's talking about sin, he doesn't have much sense of humor. And when God says go, don't say no. Because what he requires, God pays for, God takes care of, and God supplies for. It's a scary thing that Jonah did. And that's why we have this story that's unfolding. And it's a whale story. That's why you're here. Because you're here for a purpose. You said, no, I'm just passing through. No, you're here today for a purpose. You needed to hear something that's gone on here today. Something I've said, or something that was in the music, or something that somebody else. You needed that. And that's why you're here. That's so important. Have you ever said no to God's will? You know that God is moving you and pulling you and urging you. What's more important, a clock or a compass? We get so wrapped up in the clock because got to be on time. Got to do this and got to do that. And, I'm late. But what about the compass? Because that covers direction. That's important. Go back a slide, if you would. That's why I put that up there. Check your direction. Because if you're going in the wrong direction, it doesn't matter how much time you spend. It doesn't matter how far you travel. It doesn't matter how much effort you put out. If you're going in the wrong direction, it's all for naught. What does it profit a person to be dead on time if they've gone the wrong way and they end up in the wrong place? Where are you headed today? Where are you going? Is where you're going pleasing to God? Did you even ask him? Are you going where he told you to go? Or is it for your own comfort or your own selfishness or for your own likes and dislikes? Where are you going? Why are you going there? What are you going to do when you get there? I don't know. You should. Because God has a purpose. And I hope that you'll open your eyes and see it. Did you really take God into consideration? God has a will. And he has a perfect will. And I'm often asked, how do I know when I'm in the perfect will of God? I asked that question to John Brody. We were sitting in a van going to a banquet. Susan and I, I was driving and Susan was in the passenger seat and Brother and Sister Brody was right behind us. We pulled up to a red light and we were going to a teen challenge banquet in Muskegon, Michigan. And sitting there at that traffic light, I said, Brother Brody, how do you know when you're in the perfect will of God? He can make you feel so stupid. He was blind in one eye, couldn't see out of the other one. And I'm sitting right in front of him, and he's pointing over at Susan. He says, Bernie Lewis. It's the simplest thing in the world. And I said, okay. It's simple. Tell me what it is. How do I know when I'm in God's perfect will? He said, you know that you're in God's perfect will when you're at the place that you're needed the most by God. Wherever God needs you the most. You know, I need you. God put you here. This church needs you. And God's brought you here. But what's more, you need us. So God's brought you here. And you are here this morning to hear this little piece of this message. And it's just a little bitty piece. Next week, the Lord willing, I'll finish this. Because you have a personal compass. That's that next point. And that's where we'll take up next week. So would you bow your heads for a moment, please?